Blog Talk Radio. How are we to know if there's no song about Jesus? We can find songs about anything. We mimic different songs. We rememberize, but how are we to know? How are the young people growing up today to know? How are the 80 and 90-year-olds that have never received Christ, and even though they've heard different things all of their life, still the last opportunity, they need to know. So we need a song about Jesus. We need a song about Jesus. Hallelujah. We need a song about Jesus, the one that was destined to die. We need a song about Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. This is the beginning of our 30-day New Believer Studies. This is day one. Hallelujah. And just Jesus, our Savior, is our topic for day one. Jesus, our Savior. How would you know that he came to save you? How would you know unless you heard it from a preacher, unless you read his word, unless you were taught to stand on his word? How would you know? Hallelujah. Have you ever wondered why Jesus came to earth? And have you ever wondered if there are any other gods, any other ways to get to heaven? Hallelujah. You know, many people search for faith like they shop for clothes. They browse the rack of religion. They pick an item. Try it on for size. If it doesn't fit, the preacher says something that they don't agree with. Try to convict. The word starts to convict their spirit, their flesh. Flesh gets upset. The enemy tells you, no, that's not for you. Get me out of here. Get far away from these people. Not only do you get far away from them, start telling others about it. Tell them, don't go there. This is that. This is this. I'm sure you can understand. I'm sure you've been there. If you wasn't the one that was spreading the rumors, if you wasn't the ones that were spreading the lies, if you wasn't the one that was scandalizing the name of the prophet, the preacher, or the teacher, hallelujah, then you were the one that was being lied to, prophesying to. Hallelujah. Because the enemy says, get out of here. So you just decide that this doesn't fit me. This is not my right fit. This is not my brook. And remember, this is the ones that have not went in prayer, have not prayed and waited on the answer to see if this is where they need to be and where they need to stay. So you just throw it right back on the rack, right back on the religious rack. Uh-huh. And if it's comfortable, and if it makes you look good, then you buy it. You know, if it's popular to go and worship at this house, uh-huh, yeah, people choose to wear they're going to worship by what's known. You know, yes, this is where I worship at. This is my pastor, not because that's your brook or you've been led there or the word coming from heaven goes to him and comes directly to you, but because sister goes there, mama goes there, that man goes there. That's where all the women are, man. You know, so it makes you feel good. It makes you look good that this pastor may have his life together. So you kind of feel like if you just go and sit there, that means that you have yours together. It's almost like that when God shines the light on him, you're just hoping that, you know, he'll say, okay, I'm going to take them on too. They set up on you. They did everything they could think of doing against me, but I'm going to take them too because they're sitting up under your word. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. So you decide, well, it makes me feel good. It makes me look good. You know, and besides, you think I can always return this religion. It's other ones I can choose from. I can even say get out of this denomination. Uh-huh. Yeah, I can even do that if I choose. So I sit here as long as I want to until somebody asks me to get up and work in the church, until somebody asks me to follow the laws and the bylaws of the church, until someone asks me to tithe, until someone offends me because they asked me for another offering. Uh-huh. And then I'm ready to take off this religion, trade it in for something else. And then you may say, I just may not go at all. I do my own thing at home. I don't need nobody. I can be the church is in the heart. I can be the church all by myself. Mm-hmm. And who are you helping inside of your house? And who are you helping? Who are you testifying with? Who are you? What other saint are you trying to build up? Yeah, you can only do that in the house. You need, it's important to have a foundation. It's important to have a head over you, a leader, a covering. I'm not saying that you can't be in your home. You're right. Those are really extra bonuses. And there are some people who are sick and shut in for different reasons, can't get out. Can't get out. But you're not one of those. You know who you are. You know what your reasons are. And that's not yours. Hallelujah. Jesus is our Savior. And we don't need just a little bit. If you're in a fall overboard in a boat and you're drowning, you're not going to tell me that you're going to tell the one who comes to rescue you, just pull me up a little bit. Save me a little bit. You need a full-out saving. Jesus is our Savior. We need the whole kit and caboodle. We need it all. We need to be in the house because we need it all. Jesus is our Savior. So let's just go and just take a look here then at John 10:10, and go ahead and answer the question, why Jesus came to earth? Why Jesus came to earth? We already have discovered that long before there was a sin committed, it had already been approved. It had already been acknowledged. It had already been set into place that God would come himself as Jesus Christ to redeem mankind. Hallelujah. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus said, I come. He said what? He said, I come that they may have life. Put your name there. I come that Evangeline may have life and have it to the full, because I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd. We're the hired hand. We're not the shepherd. Don't let the enemy try to put it in your mind that he can tell you where you need to be at to worship, what it is that you can see at home that you don't need in church. He said, you're just a hired hand. So you didn't lay down your life for him, but he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons sheep and run away. Because if you're just, you have no control over yourself. Hallelujah. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters. But with God as your shepherd, whoo, hallelujah, with God as your shepherd. See, man can say, I'm going to be your shepherd. I can be your spouse. People even put their God into their cars. But don't you know that it'll give away? Do you know if it never break down to just a rust, it will give away on you? Do you know that that spouse or that friend will turn if a wolf starts coming and leave the sheep? You, the sheep, will be attacked by the wolf because they're gone. Hallelujah. Because he's a hard hand and he cares nothing for the sheep when it comes down to between his life and your life. But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. And I know my sheep. And my sheep knows me. Hallelujah. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay my life for the sheep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. Hallelujah. No one takes from me. No one takes my life from me. He said, but I laid it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it back up again. Ah, this comment I received from my Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So that is why Jesus came. John 10 and 10 through 18. That's why Jesus came. He came to be your shepherd. The shepherd that he knows all of his sheep. The shepherd that you can become to know him. You know his voice. Know his touch. Know his word. Know his walk. The walk that he walked. Hallelujah. Sinless walk. Some people claim that Christianity is too narrow. They said Jesus clearly said that there's only one way to heaven and one narrow path that leads to God, and that he is the way. But then they said, but that was for old times. They acknowledge it. But then they said, but this is a new time. It's so much going on today, you can't possibly think that Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the light. Come on. What about the people who's worshiping Buddha? Muhammad? What about the ones who's actually Krishna, the Scientologist? You're saying that all of those is wrong? And Jesus is the only way? I'm telling you. John 10:10. Go back and read it for yourself. He'll tell you why he came. Find another one of those that's what he came for. Came to be a shepherd over you. Came to lay down his life for you. Not only does he have the authority to lay it down, but he said, I have been given the authority from my Father to what? Pick it back up again. Woo! Come on now. Muhammad's life was gone. It wasn't his choice. He didn't lay it down. And he definitely can't pick it up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So Jesus again clearly said that there's only one way to heaven, and there's one narrow path that leads to God. Because everybody's the road to destruction is just filled with good intentions, but it's just wide. But the road to God, that every now and then you see a traveler. Because we're so consumed about everything in the world. We're so consumed about being in the church that makes us feel good or look good and not being in a relationship with a good shepherd. But Jesus is our Savior. Day one, take that with you, that Jesus is our shepherd. Jesus is my shepherd. Make it personal. Jesus is my shepherd. Hallelujah. He's not the least bit tolerant or accepting of other methods. Sincere as they might be. Remember, the highway to hell is paved with good intentions. Well, I do good, or I don't do nothing wrong for anybody, or I. He's not tolerant. He's not going to accept any other method. Only through Jesus. Why is that so hard to accept? In every other area of life, we accept absolutes. We accept absolutes. When we bake, we put in the exact ingredients. We want it to turn out just like this, the one we see here in this cookbook. We put in the exact ingredients. We accept that absolute, that to get this, we must do that. Now when we drive somewhere, we follow the directions. We put our tom-tom up or a navigation system, whatever type you may have, and we follow those directions to the T because we believe, we accept the absolute that if I want to get here, I need to follow this. Mm-hmm. And when we seek God, He requires only one thing, Christ. And that's the only way. Hallelujah. Why are we going against the absolute? If we want to get to God, we must go through Jesus Christ. That's the only way. All new believers, Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is your Savior. We're not saved by a system of religion. Salvation is beautifully, incredibly simple. Jesus is the one Savior, and He's free for your taking. Simple. He's free for your taking. The woman said, I know that the Messiah is coming. She said, I know that the Messiah is coming. But see, Messiah is the one called Christ. When the Messiah comes, He will explain everything to us. No more doubts. He will explain everything to us. Just to be in His presence, I think it's just going to be revealed. You know, you hear many times people say, oh, when I get to Him, I just want to ask, I want to ask my Father this. I want to ask this. I want to ask this. Explain this. Explain that. But just to be in the presence of perfection. Whoa! Just to be in His presence. I think all questions, the answers would just be automatically revealed to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. She said, when the Messiah comes, He will explain everything to me. Then Jesus said, I am He. I, the one talking to you. Hallelujah. Right there in front of you, the absolute. The people were still looking for Him, still waiting on Him. Do you know there are still people right now today, 2009, waiting on the Messiah's first coming? Hallelujah. 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 We're going to look just a little bit more, but you can read more about that one, of course, in John 4, 25 and 26. John 4, 25 and 26. And for the sake of time, we're going to go ahead and give you the other verses. Remember now, always come with a pen and paper, because this is not a listening thing to tickle your ears, to make you feel good. But this is something to get in your spirit. This is something to help you grow day by day by day. So remember today, day one, for the 30-day New Believer Studies, Day 1, Jesus, our Savior. Now we've made it personal, and you need to tell yourself. You look and check your hair in the mirror. You're looking at your kids. Remember to tell them, Jesus is your Savior. Jesus is my Savior. Tell yourself. The scriptures I need you to study. John 10 and 10. John 14 and 6. Acts 4 and 12. 1 Timothy 1 and 15. We're going to quickly go through those scriptures. Excuse me. In Jesus, our Savior, day one, you can write down that our questions were, have you ever wondered why Jesus came to earth? We answered that for you. Is there any other way to get to heaven? And we've also answered that. I just need you to take the verses and go back over it yourself. Go back. Spend some time in that thing. Ask God to give you clarity. You may have grown up your whole life believing something different. Ask God to give you clarity. Again, in John 14 and 6, again it reads, I am the way and the truth and the life. That no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, this day forward, you do know him and have seen him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Moving right along. Let's go to Acts 4 and 12. Acts 4 and 12. And we're in the New Testament. Acts 4 and 12. Read. You got yours on? Okay. No problem. You ready? All right, here we go. Acts 4 and 12. Read. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no one up, there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. We must be saved in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's continue to go right. We're going to 1 Timothy 1 and 15. 1 Timothy 1 and 15. From Acts, you're going to make a right. Keep going till you go into 1 Timothy. We're going to go to verse 1, chapter 1, verse 15. Right after you pass 2 Thessalonians. Stop. Prepare to stop. All right, here we go. I'm glad we all arrived here safely. 1 Timothy 1, 15. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. We were born into sin. But for that very reason, I am shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of enemies, the worst of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive his precious gift. What is that precious gift? Eternal life. Hallelujah. Eternal life. It says 17, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honored and glory. Be honored and glorified forever and ever. Amen. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the hearing. and the readers tonight. I pray that you've been reading along. I pray that you continue to read throughout your day. I pray that this will just not be something that you just get excited about right now. That even when you're going through trials and tribulations, that you will stop before you react like you normally would react, and you will say, Jesus is my Savior. Hallelujah. Some personal applications for you to write down, just to ask yourself, do you believe that Jesus is the way to the Father? You have to accept that. Do you believe that? Why do some people struggle with this concept? We go back with the absolute. And just look around you and just look. What reasons are people giving why they're struggling with this concept? It's to help you avoid those pit holes, the ones that you're going to minister to help them avoid the pit holes, the potholes. Give them the absolute. And, of course, for a more in-depth study, always read Hebrews 5, 7, and 9. 5, 7, and 9. Also read that for me, please. If we continue to go down the street a little bit and make another right from 1 Timothy, we'll run into Hebrews and go to chapter 5, and we'll start it. Verse 7 through 9, it said, during the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. And was designated by God to be the high priest. Hallelujah. Designated by God to be the high priest. Let us ask our Father humbly, yet confidentially in the name of Jesus, to remind us of the empty tomb. That Jesus, God gave Jesus the authority to lay down his life. No man could take it. Gave him the authority to pick it up again. So it's an empty tomb. And it reminds us that the authority that he had to pick up his life again. So let us see the victorious Jesus. Not the Jesus that people tell you, oh, they took his life. No man was able to take. But he gave his life. And when he went to the cross, he went with your sins on his mind. He went that he shed his blood to cover your sin, that separates you from the Father, that you might have a way to come back home to the Father. His blood is that bridge that brings you back, gives you an opportunity to come over sin. Yeah, no, we're not worthy, but he did this for us. And how dare we just turn around and look the other way? Now we become the mockers in the audience. Now we become the ones that are piercing him in his side. When we turn to other gods. When we turn to other people as our God. We become the mockers. We become the one that is killing him. We become the one that is trying to take his life. But no man could take his life. He laid it down for you, sisters and brothers. He laid it down. So in the name of Jesus, we just ask him to remind us of why that tomb is empty. And to let us see the victorious Jesus. The conqueror of the tomb. The one who defied death. And let us be reminded that we too will be granted the same victory. That you too will be granted the same victory. Victory, victory, victory. There is victory in the Word. There's victory in Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for your beautiful word. May it just pierce the heart. May it meditate on the mind. May the spirit just jump and leap for the newness, for the word, for the authority, for some ounces being ounced today of why you came. And if there's any other way to get home, that you are the only way. Thank you, Jesus, for the word. Thank you, Jesus, for the listeners. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. By the authority in Jesus, right now, he's given us the authority over all of our situations. With that same authority, I call Jesus' name in your situation. I call Jesus' name to block against anyone who's going to try to come and steal your wonderful seed that you have right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If you want to get in touch with me, you can email me at AOL.com. It's walkwithmegod@AOL.com. Always here at the blog talk. You can definitely leave me a message. I'll get back with you. You can call me personally at 210-264-5287. If you need a Bible, if you need prayer, if you need directions to a church in your state, in your area, whatever it is that you need, whatever it is, this ministry is here for you. Try Anointed Ministries. Hallelujah. We're here for you. Try Anointed. Three heads in one, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Tomorrow we'll be coming to you. Day two of the 30-day new believer studies. It can be an old believer getting in on the studies too, learning also that you may want to teach others just to strengthen your own mind. It's going to be coming home to your Father. Hallelujah. Coming home to your Father. Before we leave, we'd like to go back over the scriptures one more time. John 10:10. John 14:6. Acts 4:12. 1 Timothy 1:5. John 4:25-26. Hebrews 5:7-9. Those were our scriptures for today's lesson. Jesus, our Savior, tomorrow coming home to your Father. The times may be a little different for the different segments, so make sure you just keep checking with us. Also, we invite you to rate the show. Always come and rate the show. God bless you and keep you. How would you know? How is the world to know unless we have a song? Because we need a song about Jesus. Huh? Anytime? God bless you. We love you. Have a blessed day. Jesus is your Savior. This is Evangelist Vaughn signing off.
Give me a song about Jesus. He is the light of the world.
I'll offer praise.
need a song. A song about Jesus.
Bye-bye.